Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Blessed and highly flavored. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Praise be to God. First Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 7, it says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So God desires to manifest himself. It says, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So please understand that one individual is designated one gift. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, there are not only attributes, seven attributes of the Spirit, but there are also nine gifts, or there are actually more than nine gifts, but these are nine gifts that he mentions. And in this, God loves to express himself through his people in these gifts. And these gifts are called tools. They are tools for ministry. And there's a specific gift that is very, very vital, and it's called discerning of spirits. And discerning of spirits doesn't mean that God is going to tell you everybody's demons. The purpose of discerning the spirit is to expose the motive. It's to do what? Expose motives. In other words, it's our responsibility to make what is unseen to become seen. And one of the things that's very vital and very important, especially in these last days, is because the Bible even says many will come to you and say, I'm a believer. But in true reality, they're not right with God, because the word to believe means to follow. And if they're not followers, you're going to discern this in that area, because there are things that they may be carrying that you don't want to touch and agree with. And one of the things that happens is an individual begin to spew things out of their mouth to plant corruptible seeds, and then these corruptible seeds grow and bear fruit for the glory of the enemy. So in this, it's important that the discerning of spirits is manifested in every believer's life, because we must, first of all, discern our own motive. What is your motive? And the discerning of spirits, you'll be able to discern what spirit is motivating you to do what you do, say what you say, see what you see, hear what you hear. And where there's a false or flawed belief system, because Satan's greatest weapon is deception, where he deceives individuals, that deception promotes a belief system, and in that it promotes a flawed perception. So an individual whose belief system is flawed cannot see correctly. And by that arena, that means an individual, if he's not or she's not checking his own motives, they can't see. They can't see even what their own motive is, but they want to tell you what's bothering you. Hello. See, they want to come and pull the tree trunk out of your own eye when they have the National Grand Forest in their own. So in this, it is important that we are able to discern spirits. In other words, you will be able to discern what spirit is motivating an individual. Now, please understand, it doesn't make the individual bad. Hello? Because we must be able to separate the individual from the spirit. And in this, right now, God is really moving and training us up in this area that we become more sensitive to discern. There's got to be a sensitivity to be able to discern. And one of the things that happens is when you are not settled, when you're not at peace, you can't discern. You can't discern. It's too difficult because you're hearing too many voices now. There's too much emotion. There's too much of self. There's too much flesh. There's too much desire. There's too many other things going on that you're hearing now. So that causes you to be unsettled. And in this unsettlement, it's very, very difficult to discern. And what God is doing right now, He's bringing us through this process. And in this process, it's so that we can become more sensitive to discern, obey, and conquer. There is a process that is happening right now so that He's bringing us through things so that we can discern, obey, and conquer. Too many individuals are being moved out of position. They're being moved out of position by how they feel, what they think, and what others say. But the Bible says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, but cursed is the man who trusts in man. So one of the things the enemy loves to do is cause us to stumble in the area where we become shaken or what we say, unstable. Because it's difficult to hear. And He can mess with you more when you're unstable. Because He knows you can't discern Him. You can't discern Him in an unstable condition. Or an unsettled condition. Would you turn to Psalm 4? Psalm chapter 4. Psalm 4, and we'll start at verse 1. Let's read this together, please. Is everybody there? Psalm 4, verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my what? Righteousness. Okay, let's read this together now. We're all on the same page. Let's start from 1, right from the beginning. So we're all in the same place. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? Now this is powerful because when he says, how long will you turn my glory to shame? That's called vanity. How long will you be in vanity? How long will vanity rule you? And then he says, and how long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? That is called deception. How long will you seek deception? Verse 3. But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is what? Godly. Is that one that pleases him? Amen. The Lord will hear when I call him. In other words, he's going to answer. Why? Because there's been a sanctification. There's been a separation. He says he sets apart those who are godly. And there's that process where God is bringing us through to become more like him in a godly state of being, of image, likeness, and character. It says, verse 4. It says, be angry and what? Do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be what? Still. Be still. Why? So you can discern. So you can discern. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Now the sacrifices of righteousness is to practice righteousness, which is the will of God. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. In other words, grant us favor. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increase. In other words, the gladness that is in my heart is knowing that you hear me and there's relationship. There isn't anything greater, even though I have riches, even though I have materialism, there isn't anything greater to know that I know that you hear me. And we have relationship. in verse 8. I will both lie down in what? Peace and sleep. For you alone, our Lord, make me dwell in safety. Why? Because what he has done is he has separated you. He has taken you out. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate and do not touch those things that are unclean. Then I will be a what? Father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. So in the sanctification, there's a process that happens. And the purpose of this process of sanctification is to remove the impurities of the world so that you and I can discern, obey, and conquer. Has everybody got this? Good. Go to Leviticus 16. One of the areas that is totally respected in sanctification is the tabernacle of God. And everything revolves around the tabernacle. Everything. And in this, in the tabernacle, there's certain things that are in the tabernacle. And there's three chambers in the tabernacle. There's the outer court, holy place, and most holy place. And the outer court is where the altar and the sacrifices. In the holy place, there are three major things in there. There's the seven, the lampstand or the seven attributes of the Holy Spirit that burns. There's the bread. And there's the incense. And in this incense, which burns, there's coals in there. And in these coals, where this incense comes up, it's right before the veil, before the most holy place of the glory of God. And again, everything revolves around the tabernacle, everything that's going on right now. And in this sanctification or separation, it's a sense of purifying. In other words, even the priests had to get purified before they can access the holy place and before they could access the most holy place, or they died. In Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 11, would you read it? And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bull as the sin offering, which is for himself. Then he shall take a censer full of burning what? Coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hands full of sweet incense, beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. That's a representation of the glory of God. He shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side, and before the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. And in this, we know that this is a foreseen of what would Jesus would be, because Jesus was known as the tabernacle that would die on a cross for me and you, and he was actually pierced in seven places of his body. And seven meaning complete and perfect. And verse 15, then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, bring its blood inside the veil, do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanliness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions for all of their sins. So he shall do for the tabernacle of meeting, which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. There shall be no man in the tabernacle of meeting when he goes in to make atonement into the holy place until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. And he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar all around. Then he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times, cleanse it and consecrate it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he has made the end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and what? Confess, speak forth over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land, and shall be released the goat in the wilderness. Then Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of meeting, shall take off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his body with water in a holy place, put on his garments, come out, and offer his burnt offering and burnt offering of the people, and make atonement for himself for the people. The fat of the sin offering he shall burn on the altar. And he who released the goat as a what? Scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in the water, and afterward he may come into the camp. That's where the word scapegoat came from. And what they used to do is they used to tie a linen to the tabernacle. And it was a thread. It was like a piece of red linen. It was scarlet. And once the priest laid hands on the goat, known as the scapegoat, the goat would take off and it would die. And once it died, they knew that God accepted their sacrifice, because the red scarlet would turn white that was tied to the tabernacle. And they knew that the Lord forgave them and forgave the sins of Israel. See, everything was supernatural then, wasn't it? When you think about all of these powerful things that God did. But in this, it is very important to understand that this whole thing started because of the area of the coal. Of the what? Coal. Because the coal is so essential in the process of purification. If you've ever looked at coal, there are things about coal. Coal burns, doesn't it? Well, you know what happens if you crush it? It turns into a diamond. So there's an area that God begins to utilize and crush us, utilize us, begin to use us and purify us and sanctify us in the separation, just like coal. Because coal brings fire. And in this, the Bible says that we are to be a sweet aroma to the Lord. But it's amazing that when God starts this process, how many people run? Whew. They get all religious. And they run. Oh, this is not for me. It's for everybody. You can't outrun it. You might as well get it over with. There's a purifying process that God brings us through, and he's doing it right now globally. Globally, it's happening. Let's go a little further. Psalm 11. How many of y'all know that God uses things to purify you? Like your spouse, your best friend, your relationships, your boss. Hello? God will use anything. I'm telling you, everything and anything. So when you look at that arena that something is happening to you, you can just know that that's coal. That's coal. I didn't say cold. I said coal. Why? Because it's to purify you. So sometimes you can become the coal too, can't you? Psalm 11, is everybody there? In verse 4. Let's read it together. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked he shall rain what? Coal. So coal is also used for judgment. Fire and brimstone and burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. So, coal is always the process before the cup. And I'm going to talk more about that. The coal and the cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. Coals are judgment to awaken those to the Almighty God. Coals. And coal is always a process before the cup. Psalm 18. The coal and the cup. Psalm 18. Is everybody there? Praise God. In verse 7, then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up from his what? Nostrils, and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of what? Fire. The Lord thundered from heaven. The Most High uttered his voice. Hailstones and coals of what? Fire. So we know then that everything that the Lord touches, he purifies. Everything he touches, he purifies. Coal, again, is the process of purification. It's a process of sanctification. And again, so many times people run in the process. And so in that, they really never get an opportunity to drink the cup. And we'll talk about that. Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 10. Ezekiel chapter 10. In verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 10 and verse 1. And behold. Oh, and behold. Hallelujah. And I looked. And there in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubim, there appeared something like a sapphire stone having the appearance of the likeness of a throne. Then he spoke to the man clothed with linen and said, go in among the wheels under the cherub. Fill your hands with what? Coals of fire from among the cherubim and scatter them over the city. And he went in as I watched. Then the cherubim were standing on the south side of the temple. When the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and paused over the threshold of the temple. And the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. And the sound of the wings of the cherubim was heard even in the outer court, like the voice of Almighty God when he speaks. Then it happened when he commanded the man clothed in linen, saying, take fire from among the wheels and from among the cherubim, that he went in and stood beside the wheels. And the cherub stretched out his hand from among the cherubim to the fire that was among the cherubim, and took some of it and put it into the hands of the man clothed with linen, who took it and went out. The cherubim appeared to have a form of a man's hand under his wings. And when I looked, there were four wheels by the cherubim, one wheel by one cherub and another wheel by each other cherub. The wheels appeared to have the color of braille stone. As for their appearance, all four looked alike, as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went toward any of their four directions, they did not turn aside when they went, but followed in a direction the head was facing. They did not turn aside when they went. And their whole body, with their back, their hands, their wings, and the wheels, that the forehead were full of eyes all around. As for the wheels, they were called in my hearing wheel. Each one had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub, the second face, the face of a man, the third face, the face of a lion, and the fourth face, the face of an eagle. And the cherubim were lifted up. This was a living creature I saw by the river Chebar. So understand that in the throne room of God, the throne of God is pure. It is a place of his presence. That's why there is coal there. Does everybody got it? There is coal there. And it's in this coal that there is this fire that burns. And in this, they handle this coal. Again, the coal is used for purification, and it's also used for judgment. Go to Isaiah 6. The coal in the cup. Isaiah chapter 6. So are you seeing a lot of judgment on the earth right now? Yeah, come on. We're seeing more fires. Arizona's burning up, man. What's the other place? Missouri or somewhere that's flooding like crazy? And I mean, there's places all over. There's earthquakes. We've had, they had something like 7 volcanoes go off in the last few months where it's been interrupting flights. There's all kinds of things that are going on. It's because God's judgment is awakening mankind in reality that man can't save himself. They need a Savior. And Isaiah chapter 6, is everybody there? Let's start at verse 4. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am what? A man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a what? Live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. And he said, go and tell this people who keep on hearing but do not understand. Keep on seeing and do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be what? Healed. So understand in this, if you really look at this, is because there is no discernment, is there? If they can't see correctly and hear correctly and their heart isn't correctly because of the instability, they cannot discern. And they've touched unclean things. And the Lord is sending out the coal that purifies, the coal that turns us into diamonds so that we become transparent. The fiery coal that when he touched his lips, it purified him, because anything that this coal touches purifies. Does everybody got it? And when it's purifying the lips, because it's what brings us uncleanliness, isn't it? It's things that we say. It's things that we speak. It's things that we agree with. It brings defilement to the temple. The coal touched the lips, cleaned and purged us in. Before we are sent to do his will, I want you to grab hold of this. Before we are sent to do his will, there must be purification. And there's many times when God is getting ready to do something and he has to purify you for that position. He has to purify you. It's just like when the SEALs went and killed, what's his face? Bin Laden. They had to have a, they had to be prepared, didn't they? There was a tremendous intelligence that was brought forth. There was all kinds of preparation before they could go do that job. And God uses purification and prepare us before the next job he has for us. And nobody escapes it, or else he doesn't let it come to pass. So many times we're trying to go do the thing that we believe God told us to do, but yet we haven't been purified for it to do it. We haven't been prepared to do it. But because we know that it's something we're supposed to do, but we don't allow God to prepare us for it. And in that preparation, it's called purification and sanctification, where he separates you to him so that you are able to discern. Because if you can't discern, you can't complete the job. Does everybody got this? You know, one of the things that begins to happen in this is there's a tearing away. There's that tearing away. In other words, the impurities that have connected us to the world that begins to tear away from us. And sometimes it hurts. And in this tearing away, sometimes you find yourself weeping and frustrated and don't even know why. And it's because the things that you thought were okay, God is saying are no longer okay. The things that you had put your trust in, he's saying you can't put your trust in no more. I'll never forget one of the things that happened with me. And one of the things I realized, listen, I loved my family, my mom and dad and so forth, but I realized I wasn't theirs anymore. I was no longer associated with earthly family. I had a heavenly family. And in that heavenly family, it's those who do the will of God. Even Jesus said that. He said, my brothers and sisters and mothers and so forth are those who do the will of God. Other than that, they're not mine. They're not my family. There's a difference between family and friend. Remember, Jesus called Judas friend. He didn't call him brother. His disciples, he called them his disciples and brothers. He called them friends because of the area that he was revealing himself to them. But it's not the same word friend that when Judas came and he said, what have I have to do with you, friend? So sometimes we realize that even some of our old friends are just friends. They're no longer really friends anymore. There's a difference. And as God begins to purify you, he begins to give you the discernment so you begin to discern who are friends and who are brethren. Has everybody got it? And in this, it's coming kind of like a tearing away because some of the things that we used to associate with in friends that were our good friends, and you love them, but there's no longer the same common anymore because their common is the world and your common is heaven. Has everybody got this? And that's a part of that purification that begins to happen. That's a part of that call. Why? Because God is saying, come on and drink my cup. But you first must take the call before you can drink my cup. Go to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel 10 and verse 10. 10:10. And Daniel was praying, and suddenly a hand touched him. He said, a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. And he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to what? Understand. Remember when we just, what did we just read in the other scripture about people who see but cannot see, or have eyes cannot see, and ears who cannot hear, and a heart that cannot what? Understand. But here Daniel It says, since you set your heart to understand, since you and humbled yourself before your God, your words were what? Heard. And I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, who is the archangel, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. The king of Persia was a principality over Persia. The angel of the Lord was coming to give Daniel a message, and he had a fight for 21 days before he could get there. 21 days according to the natural time. Has everybody got it? 21 days. But for him, it was only a couple seconds. Verse 14. But now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the what? Latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come. When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly one having like the likeness of the sons of men touched my what? My lips. Then what? I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, my Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me. Then again, the one having the likeness of man touched me and strengthened me. And this was known as also the spirit of revelation who came. Because he came to bring Daniel revelation. But the revelation was so strong. And it was about something in the future. It was a prophetic thing that was about to happen. And he was telling him, he wanted him to have understanding that he could not speak. And I want to share with you that when the presence of God and the glory of God comes, you cannot speak. When the glory of God came, I could not speak. There was no words to say. There isn't anything that you can say. In fact, before you can finish your thought, he answers you. You can't even ask it. You can't speak. And then he has to touch your lips. Or he has to back away so you can speak. So there's an area now where he wants us to speak his oracles, not our own. And man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Go to Psalm 45. Psalm 45. Y'all okay? Are you getting this? You know, do you remember that coals and brimstone came down and hailstones and so forth? Even in, remember that's a part of God's judgment. Hallelujah. See, when a coal touches you, you become a sweet aroma. When a coal touches you, you become a sweet aroma. You become a sweet aroma to the Lord. So quit grumbling when the coal touches you. God enjoys it. You might as well too. Psalm 45 and verse 1, my heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a what? Ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your what? Lips. Why? Because grace is known as the will of God. It is the plan of God. That's what grace is. It's not something that you trample. It's not something that allows you to get away with things. Grace is the plan of God to escape the deception of the devil and the wrath of God. That's what grace is. Didn't Jesus come in the fullness of what? Grace and truth. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty, and in your majesty ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness. And your right hand shall teach you awesome things. Hallelujah. Grace poured upon the lips. Again, grace is will of God. It's his plan and its favor. Jesus came in the fullness of grace and truth to fulfill the cup of his will. He had to become crushed as coal to fulfill the will of God, didn't he? You remember when he lifted, he said, if it's possible, let this what? Cup pass me by. So coal cleanses the lips so that we can drink the cup. Psalm 23. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That word want means lack. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Why? Hello? He knows where to feed you, doesn't he? It's called green pastures. He's not going to have you lie down in a brown one. He leads me beside what? Still waters. Hello? Still waters, not moving waters. Why? Because if you're at a moving water, you can't hear him. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This is a representation of the Last Supper. Hello? You anoint my head with oil and my what? Cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The table prepared is a place of pressure. It's about the coal. In other words, the coal must cleanse your lips before you can drink the cup. Too many try to drink the cup without purification. Is everybody okay? Anybody okay? See, because all of this is backed by the anointing of God. So the purification that comes is backed by the anointing. Why? The Bible even says that he wants to prune you, right? So you bear more fruit. There's that purging. There's that pruning. Why? It's all that crushing. And in that crushing, you know, oil doesn't come, you know, we're not just drilling for oil, for olive oil, are we? You have to crush it. Juice doesn't come just from, it doesn't pour out of a tree or anything, you know. I know you can buy it in bottles at the store, but there's something that has to happen. The fruit must be crushed before it can produce. And that's what happens with me and you. We must be crushed before we can produce. So the coal is associated with the crushing. It's associated with the purging and the purifying so that the coal can purify us and purge our lips pure so we can drink the cup. And the cup is associated with God's plan and his will. Psalm 116, the coal and the cup. Psalm 116. In verse 12, Psalm 116, verse 12, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take up the what? The cup of what? Salvation. And call upon the name of the Lord, and I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You better underline that and highlight that. Put stars around it. So Enos, he said, what shall I render to the Lord for his benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation. In other words, he had to be crushed for your salvation, didn't he? Now you must maintain that crushing part so you can fulfill his will. And precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. In other words, you must die to yourself. Hallelujah. Matthew 20. So if you smell something burning while you're sleeping, don't worry about it. It's purification. Unless you hear the fire alarms go off, then get the heck out of there, man. Matthew 20. Is everybody there? Matthew 20. And verse 20. Hallelujah. Matthew 20, verse 20. Let's read it together. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down, asking something from him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left hand in your kingdom." And Jesus answered and said, "Do you not know what you ask? Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm about to be baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." And he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father." So he said, "You will drink this cup." But you know what? What did they have to go through? Ooh. Ooh, chihuahua. They had to go through a lot. Because the Lord was purifying. See, when God purifies, he doesn't start outward. He starts inward. See, religiosity starts outward. It's about ritual. But there's an inward now. See, and that's the difference, because the religious, and that religious spirit is there, he doesn't like to be exposed. So his first thing is, "Man, I'm out of here. I can't take this coal." Because they're so used to the outwardness, not the inwardness. Matthew 23. Matthew 23. I start at verse 23. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe and mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." That's a miracle. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the what? Outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also." Does everybody see that? See, because Jesus was calling the Pharisees and Sadducees religious. Because they were more concerned about how they dressed, how they looked outward, but inside, they were extortionists. They were wolves with sheep clothing. Many cleanse the outward, but run when it comes to cleansing the inward. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 11. The coal and the cup. In verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new what? Covenant.'" So there must be purification, and it must maintain purification. and sanctification to maintain covenant. This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in what? In what? Remembrance of me. So it's a cup of covenant. For after you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep or what? Are dead. People don't realize that if they're out there fornicating and doing all kinds of stuff, then they come in without repentance and take communion, they bring a curse on themselves and don't even know it. Because, see, religion has the outwardness, and there's a self false expectation or false vision of someone self-purifying because of what they've done on the outward instead of where it is on the inward. Because they've not allowed the call to purge them. They've not allowed the call to purify them before they drink the cup. And when an individual drinks the cup in bitterness, unforgiveness, hatred, or anything else, he brings a curse on himself. Has everybody got this? That's why the lips, the body, the mind, things must be pure. It's pured, and it's pured by the arena of repentance, where we are washed by the blood. That's a humble, you know, there are people that just repent, but there truly isn't true repentance, is there? Oh, I'm sorry, but they really don't mean it. There's not a really true repentance of the heart, where there's a grief of the heart, not because of an individual, but because they sinned against God. And they don't see that they've sinned against God because there isn't really that relationship. There's that religious stuff. And that's why the purification is so important. Pride is a prime promoter of religion. It promotes self and exposes everyone else. Hello. And that's all it's doing is protecting self in that religious state. Because there's a sense of outwardness, but yet within, it's not pure. That's why it's important to be able to discern and the things that we touch and agree with in thought, things that we speak. Because if there's an unsettling, there cannot be discernment. It's impossible. There must become a settling so that there can be discernment. And the more you are able to discern, the closer you're able to get to God. Because you'll be able to discern what is clean and unclean, what's holy and unholy, what are the words, and examine yourself even better. And God allows the more the purging. See, we are to welcome the fire. We are to welcome the purification. We are to welcome it, not run from it. Welcome it so we can drink the cup in communion and fellowship. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Is everybody there? Look at verse 21. What does it say? You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of what? Demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? So please understand what happens when an individual begins to partake and try to do the things of God's will with uncleanliness, with being unsanctification or unpure. They begin to actually drink the cup of demons and don't even know it. And they begin to say things. They begin to think things because they're drinking of the wrong cup. Why? Because they can't discern the cup of the Lord or the cup of demons. They can't discern it. And that's why it's so important right now of that discerning of spirits so that the motives are understood and exposed. And I'm going to close it. Revelation 14. The coal and the cup. Oh yeah. In verse 9. Revelation 14 and verse 9. The coal and the cup. And we'll close here. Praise God. You know, I have a piece of coal from Sodom and Gomorrah. And let me tell you, it's real. We got it there. When I was in Israel, I saw what happened over there. And it was a thriving city that is still nothing. Still nothing. And it reminds me of when I look at that coal, what the Lord did, brimstone, coals of fire, right? Hail, burning, destroyed that place because of their wickedness, because they refused to obey. And in that, God brought judgment and made an escape for the righteous. But there was one who had a hard time letting go. And she turned and looked. And she died. And what we're seeing right now globally is judgment. Judgment is always before the wrath of God. Things are happening so quickly. It's unraveling. Totally unraveling. But in this unraveling, things are being exposed too. And in this, God is purifying his body so he can move mightily through them, because he's going to come through the body first before he physically comes. He's going to move through the body before he physically comes. So there's a purifying, there's a purification, there's the burning, there's the coal before the cup. In Revelation 14, in verse 9, then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast in his image and received his mark on his forehead or on his hand," that word mark means badge, "he himself shall also" what? "Drink of the wine of the wrath of God." You don't want to drink that one. "Which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name." And his name is Allah. And I'm not going into all of that tonight. "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on.' Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them," leaving a legacy behind. The coal and the cup. That's what you see happening right now. So you can be a sweet aroma wherever you go. You can be an incense to the Lord. Remember, there must be purification before taking of the cup, and that's doing his will. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Let's lift our hands to heaven. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let the seed be imparted and protected by the blood of the Lamb. And let it grow and bear fruit for your glory. And grant us, Master, the discernment, and the discerning of spirits, that we'll be able to understand not our motives, but the motives of others, so that we can discern where to walk, who to fellowship with, when to depart, and when to stretch out your hand, being fully obedient to conquer for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah!